Merseyland Alternative Radio with Bert Williams.
Good evening.
The party's over. I'm so tired. Then I see you coming. I don't know where. Much communication. In a motion. Without conversation. Or a notion. When the samba takes you out of nowhere, when the background fades out of focus, there's a picture scene.
Well, we've got Roxy Music now here on MAR. A slight, slight blunder there. Somebody made a slight blunder anyway. I don't know whether it was me or somebody else. But we're supposed to have the online, the internet thing, contact, internet contact thing. It was listed on the display here for 20 seconds, but it didn't seem to come out. So, slight confusion there. So I'm here like at the transmitter location now, or near to it anyway, in a makeshift setup here for a little while now, here on MAR 105. Brian Ferry, Roxy Music, and one of the, I think one of the best ones that he did, this Adelon.
There's no holding. Would you have me dancing? I don't know, babe.
Avalon, that's the title of that particular record. Classic there from them. And this is MAR, as was saying, and I'm in Studio 1, as you might say. That's the nearest studio to the where the transmitter is. And I'm noticing at the moment we've got a slight thing with the sliders on this mixer. Could really do with putting another mixer in here. But if I do that, we take the risk of a breaking continuity while I change it over, because we've got all the main programs coming through it. I've got another one, like, you just plug it in, like, but it's got about quite a few dozen leads going into it, so if I did change it over, we could break up the continuity of the programs, and obviously don't want to do that, so just have to make do with a few crackles on the, so a few slight crackles on the slide has been used for a while. So, yeah, the other slight technical thing is the balance on the stereo. I've not brought up the equipment to calibrate it, and there seems to be some confusion over that as to where the left-hand channel is slightly louder, or not as loud as the right-hand channel. I've checked it on some of the monitors here, and it sounds about right, but I've not actually measured it because I haven't brought up the equipment here to do that. So anyway, let's continue now with the music. George Harrison, from his album All Things Must Pass. Harrison, that's George Harrison from his album All Things Must Pass. Well, what I'm going to do now here on MAR is give you a little rundown of the plans for the next few days and what we're doing over the festive season. So while I'm talking away here, I'm going to have the original Radio Caroline theme. I played this when I was on a bit earlier today. I'm going to do it again. What I'll do is I'll let the beginning of it come in a bit, so you'll get the get to know the tune a bit. And then as it starts to, it's a bit of a long track, when it starts to go on a bit round the middle, I'll come in with the information that I'm going to give you about MAR over the next day or two, and what's going on here at MAR, and what we've been doing, and what problems we've got here at MAR on 105. So here we go, the original Radio Caroline theme from Jimmy McGriff. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start that one again as I talked. I talked over the beginning. It starts in quite an unusual way with the attack on the electronic organ as it starts. So what I'm going to do now is let it start now. Yes, 1964 there, Radio Caroline theme. A very unusual record there, very rare record. Yeah, thanks to John Dwyer for providing a copy of that. Yeah, I think he was on earlier on. Yes, I've been trying to get hold of that one for quite a long time, and I always remember way back many years ago, I went into this record shop asking about it, because I thought it was by Jimmy Smith. I did. I thought it was Jimmy Smith, but I wasn't too sure on that. This other fellow, who just happened to be standing next to me in the record shop, said, "Oh, it's by Jimmy McGriff." I'd never really heard of him before. A very rare artist. And he certainly seems to surpass. Very outstanding record. Seems to go beyond Booker T and the MGs and Jimmy Smith for this one, which is called Round Midnight. Very rare, as I said, kind of record. And the original, the first Radio Caroline theme that he used in 1964. Talking of themes, MAR, when it was on in 1980, with me Andy Davis and John Dwyer. The original MAR theme was Atlantis by the Shadows, and that's what these people seem to be playing at the moment on the programs here. And I think Central's using that one. So at the moment we got two stations using the same theme tune, but never mind. So there's that little point I was going to mention. Radio Caroline thing right the way through. It started off again, I left it on repeat on the CD player, so what I'll do now, while it's playing in the background, I'll give you some update here on what's happening at MAR. At the moment, our outlook is to continue until 12 midnight on Boxing Day, when we will be turning off. And the position is, I don't think, unless there's an unexpected change of circumstances, I don't think we will be on after midnight on Boxing Day until possibly Easter, which is a bit of a long time really, but we've had a few unfortunate setbacks. A big major, I consider it a major setback anyway, happened at the end of October. That's about, 7 weeks ago, something like that. And what happened was, we were on this frequency, Saturday evening, I think, 28th of October, turned on about 9 o'clock to do some tests, and we were on till the early hours in the morning, and when I got back to turn the transmitter off, noticed something, being a message being left for me by somebody connected with the station here. And basically what it was is that about 3 o'clock in the morning, well, 4 a.m., something like that, we don't know the exact time, somebody had been on the roof of the buildings where the station is. 3 o'clock in the morning, no ladders, they must have climbed up some way, possibly onto some outbuilding, and then onto the second roof, and then the third roof, and the fourth roof, to get up to the top. So somebody's been on the roof, 28th of October, between 3 and 4 a.m., so what the hell have they been doing? And we don't think it's a burglar, because there was certain places, certain other, plenty of opportunities for a burglar, so it definitely wasn't that. So obviously something to do with the radio and the station being on, and somebody been wandering around on the roofs of the buildings here. So it sounds like somebody doesn't really want us on the air, or doesn't like us being on, and wants us off, you know. So I consider that a major major setback really. And the only alternatives we've got at the moment is setting up in tower blocks or whatever, something like that. And I'm just not bothered about that. I just haven't bothered, and I'm a bit reluctant to do that. because the problem is, I've done a lot of this in the 90s, and we get about maybe a month out of it, or a couple of months, and then it seems to go wrong with the people in the locations, or the janitor, or something goes wrong, and we end up, like, off the air again. It doesn't seem to last. That seems to be the problem with it. I mean, Mersey Waves was a tower block station that was always in tower blocks when it was on the medium wave in the 1980s, and it was like it was a bit like having a car that needed a service every 100 yards, like down the road. Things going wrong all the time. We all had to keep on going up and sorting out problems all the time. I'm sort of a bit, I don't really want to go back into the past, I like to go forward, so I'm a bit reluctant really on that one. So if things go badly wrong with what we're doing at the moment, I may call it a day, or I might go to the tower blocks again. I don't know, I can't really say until if and when that happens. Could call it a day for the radio, finish for good. Go to the tower blocks again. So the reason we're not going to be on probably after Boxing Day, turning off at midnight, is because I'm not going to be around. I'm going to be gone out of the area, and I've given the radio a lower profile this festive season because of the event that I just mentioned that happened at the end of October. Because whoever's been on the roof, they're not going to give up easy. They're not going to stop and just leave us alone, I don't think, even if we move to the tower blocks. Well, it might do for a while, but it's going to be a lot of problems, a lot of hassle, a struggle, as you might say. So there you are, I brought you up to a little bit up to date here on what's happening at MAR. We'll be back on at Easter after the holidays. In the meantime, as I said, we're continuing until Boxing Day at midnight. So let's move on now with a classic, another classic from George Harrison, from his album All Things Must Pass, probably including M.A.R. and us. We're all the same. George Harrison. Yes, George Harrison. Isn't it a pity? It's a bit of a long record, this. I'm going to say a few things. Oh, it lasts for 7 minutes, which is quite a long time, really, for records from the early 70s. So, what I was saying, I was talking about MAR and any possible future, emphasize that word, that we might have. We could try going back on the medium wave like the old days, as that's where MAR was on the medium wave, 266 and also 252. It moved from, I think it was 252 to 266 at one stage. It started in October 1979, the original MAR, from the tower blocks in Norton on the Whittle. Ran till about mid-1981. It could have lasted a lot longer, actually. It could have lasted 4 or 5 years, that station, but when me and John Dwyer fell out, I think it was the beginning of the end, as you might say, for the station. Well, certainly in the 80s, anyway. There's, well, probably a number of reasons, like me not being there and things like that, probably didn't help matters after 1980. So, as I say, we could go back on the medium wave, but the thing is, I don't think as many people listen on the medium wave. If anybody has any opinions on that, they could contact us. Contact Steve West on the station email address. I think I've got an email or contact thing at the moment. I've not checked that. I was also considering giving out a phone number, but somebody said, I won't say who it was, a mobile number, but somebody said they didn't think it was such a good idea, really. A number of stations have done that, I think, down south, and we've had a few problems as a result. Yeah, so it's a bit doubtful if we'll have another go at the medium wave, because you need a 200-foot aerial anyway in a tower block. That's where MAR used to be all those years ago when it was on the medium wave. There's been a number of attempts since 1981. By various people to bring it back, but none of the attempts have lasted about a month, 3 weeks at the most, something like that, and then it's gone wrong. Last major attempt was with myself and Radar Roy in 1994 in a tower block over in Liverpool. I think it was St George's Heights, and then that's gone. That's been knocked down, St George's Heights, and we were set up there, and the fella wasn't too well. So, in the place where we had the transmitter, and the bishop had disappeared. So, when the fella, we're not being too well. Yes, when he, I just jumped on the monitor there. Just that's the reason for that pause. Then, a message come up on the monitor. Yes, so when he wasn't too well, I said, we're doing all these tests, but we never got past the test procedure stage because we were concerned about him not, you know, him having to leave and go into hospital. So it did end in that, and we didn't launch the station after testing for about 2 months. Yeah, so a bit of a disappointment, that one. Just never-ending tests, that's what we seem to be doing, apart from being on at Christmas. That's what we seem to be doing now, apart from being on over the festive season. So, a little bit of background information there. So what have we got lined up next? It's Indiana. Indiana Wants Me is the title. Ardeen Taylor. Ooh,
never need to die, and he did. No one had the right to say what he said about you. And it's so cold and lonely here without you. Out there the laws are coming. I'm getting so tired of running. Indiana wants me. Well, I can't go back there. To talk to you. It hurts to see the man that I've become, and to know I'll never see the morning sunshine on the land. I'll never see your smiling face or touch your hand. If just once more I could see you, our home and our little baby. Indiana wants me, but I can't go back there. Indiana wants me, but I can't go back there. I've decided you to talk to.
Taylor, Indiana wants me. Yeah, so I was talking about the future, possible future, emphasize the word possible future at MAR here, and what I wanted to add to that, if things get too difficult, we have a lot of problems. I'm probably going to have to give up, I'm afraid. Give up for a while anyway, maybe a year or two, because we've got another project going. It's not radio, nothing to do with radio, and it's taking up all too much of me time, and that's where I'm going to be off just after Boxing Day to continue with that project, and it's going to take about a year, another year at least, to complete it. So in the meantime, I haven't got much time for the radio, and I sort of think to myself, well, even if I did, because I did spend a lot of time in the 90s trying to get a good station sorted out, and when I was on earlier, I said I had a lot of problems, quite a lot of people let me down, particularly Stephen Bishop, so thanks for letting me down there, if you're listening, Steve. Okay. So, yeah, a lot of problems, and that's happened in the 90s, put a lot of time in, and it seemed to be a catalogue of failure, as you might say. But there was a very successful station on in the 80s, where things were good. It's like as though everybody was in the right place at the right time, and everything worked out. But in the 90s, it seemed to be like catalogue of failure. As well as just like the Beatles and a lot of other groups, it's a question of just being in the right place at the right time, knowing the right people. And look at the draw, as you might say. Maybe it'll happen again, maybe it won't. May possibly go some way towards that now, because at least we're on the air. And we got some of the old people on that used to be on the original station. That's myself, Andy Davis, John Dwyer, and some... We've had in the past Dave Simpson, but I don't think he can make it on this particular festive season. He's not in the area anymore anyway, so I suppose that reduces his motivation a bit if he's busy with other things. So let's have one now from Creedence Clearwater Revival from 1969. Clearwater Revive. Proud Mary is the title of that one, and I'm here talking away about MA at the moment and a possible future outlook. We've been a festive season here on MAR, and I was saying about things that are going on with the station and so on. And I said earlier, when I was on earlier today, that Steve West, I think he'd like to see me do more regarding MAR, get the station moving a bit more, get set up in the tower blocks and all that sort of thing, which sounds good. I mean, it looks good on the face of it. It does, but it's one of these things like where it looks good and you think, oh yeah, tower block, we get set up there, oh good. But then you find a month down the line or whatever it is, it's not so good and you got a lot of problems. And that's, I think, why, one of the reasons. Plus, as I said, I'm tied up with this other project, which is nothing to do with radio, but it's taken up a lot of my time. And the position is that I knew I was going to get a good result with the radio. I'd be up at the tower block setting it up. But I think it's one of these things like, it looks good, but it isn't so good when you get involved. And as you say, the saying is, the devil is in the detail. It looks good on the face of it, but as you get more involved, you find it's not so good. And that seems to be like almost a classic Unvarian thing that seems to happen. Seldom does one seem to be really reasonably lucky, like the days of Mersey Waves, when you have a lot of success. Failure seems to be the main thing. Yeah, so that's something I was going to add to what I was saying before. So it could be quite a long time, if indeed ever, that I really get around to doing anything, if indeed I can. because it is a bit difficult, as I've just explained, getting a station like this set up. I mean, I spoke to John Dwyer recently. He was my partner when we started MAR in 1979, and I was saying to him, and he was saying he's quite right, it's quite difficult to get a station together, get the programs and get it going. And then when you do that, you've got all these other problems as well, like what I mentioned before, you know, somebody being on the building, the roofs of the buildings here, crawling around on the roofs, like, or whatever they've been doing, like 3 o'clock in the morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning. So you've got problems like that as well, which you don't really need, but unfortunately, that's what seems to be happening, a tendency for that to happen. Right, let's see what we're going to have. Another one now by Creedence Clearwater Revival, a classic, another classic from them.
behind us. Yes, we have all the time in the world just for love, nothing more, nothing less, only love.
Armstrong there from the James Bond film on Her Majesty's Secret Service, All the Time in the World. Right, we're going to have one now from Billy J. Kramer, 1965. Also done by Dionne Warwick. Trains, Boats and Planes.
Passing by, they mean a trip to Paris or Rome to someone else, but not for me. The trains and the boats and planes took you away, away from me. We were so in love and high above, we had a star to wish upon which, when dreams came true, but not for me. The trains and the boats and planes took you away, away from me.
Trains, Boats and Planes. Well, we're going to have another one now. Twin spin, as you might say. This is one that's not been played so much recently.
I saw a light shine from a window, and as I looked again, your face came into sight. I couldn't walk on until you'd gone from your window. I had to make you mine. I knew you were the one. Oh, I would be glad just to have a love.
where the light shines from a window. And as I take your hand, say that you be mine tonight.
Shout. Bit of a long record this, so I'm going to say a few things over that I forget to say. I must be getting a bit of a short memory as I get older. I said that the last major attempt at MAR to get bring MAR back on the air, it was in 1994 with myself and Radar Raw and a few other people in a tar block. But anyway, I was wrong on that. I said memory must be starting to fade. I'm very wrong on that. Couldn't be more wrong. The last major attempt to get MAR back was with Rick Dane. in, when was it, 2002. The station started at the end of April 2002 on 99.8 in the FM band. And it went every weekend. Rick Dane was doing it all, doing all the programs and everything. And we had a few other people on as well. I didn't quite get round to going on the station because of me being... I was busy then, actually, with this thing that I mentioned that I'm still currently doing now. But I've elaborated on this new thing that I'm doing now quite a lot, so I'm a lot more involved in it than I was then. And I said Rick was on, and... what was the other fella's name that was on? Somebody else, there was a few people on, I can't remember who they were now. As I said, I must be getting the memory fading. Memory's pretty good, actually. I think it's just the radio. I think maybe I'm starting to lose. I haven't got the interest I used to have. But anyway, I said Rick Dane, myself. I didn't actually go on the station, but Rick was on it, and... it was on from the end of April till, I think it was, beginning of August 2002. So that's end of April, every weekend throughout May, June and July, until about early August. And then it went wrong. Like I've been talking about earlier, things just tend to go wrong all the time. And it was down to the, there was a problem at the location. The usual kind of problem, and we didn't, Rick, I'm afraid Rick got cold feet and about it, and he said certain things to me, and I was confident that what he was saying was right. So what we did was we give it a rest, and we didn't really have the motivation to go and set it up there again. In the meantime, Rick, that's Rick Dane, who died in 2002, he went into a spiral of depression not long after that. It's like as though maybe doing the radio going was keeping him going. Yes, if you just bear with me for a moment while I get hold of this CD list. Right, okay, I'm back here now, and I'm going to try and select a track. Yes, I think I've already done it. Yeah, I've already done that. So, yes, as I was saying, and that was the last major attempt at MAR, 2002, so a lot more recent than what I was previously saying, and as I said, Rick went into this spiral of depression, and about mid-November 2002, he committed suicide. Very sad, that. And it got to the stage, really, where last time I ever spoke to him, he admitted that he wasn't even answering the phone, you know, when people were phoning, because he got so depressed. And I've got one of his records here that he, from MAR, when he was doing it, and this is the record that he got in 1969 by the Bee Gees. But this is, I've got the actual single, but anyway, this is the CD version of the same record that Rick got in 1969. So we're going to play this now in memory of Rick Dane, who died, as I said, in 2002. I think it's about 16th of November 2002.
Oh, my heart won't believe that you have left me. I keep telling myself that it's true. I can get over anything. You want myself over you. Don't forget a photograph of you, girl. Though I try to forget you, somehow you're the mirror of my soul. So take me out of my own. Let me try to go on living right now.
There, Don't Forget to Remember, and that's a single. I've actually got here the single in the box here. I've just got hold of this box of records that Rick Dane left when he was on MAR in 2002. That's a lot more recent than I originally thought. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to remember Rick Dane on this festive broadcast here on MAR on 105. I'm going to do a little memory thing of Rick Dane. And as I said, I've got a box of records here that he left at the station when he died in 2002. So what we're going to do now is start off with the station theme tune, the most popular station that he ever did in the late 70s and early 80s. So here we go. It's Jackie Blue by the Ozark Mountain Daredevils. As I was saying, you listen to Jackie Blue by the Ozark Mountain Daredevils here on MAR, Maryland Alternative Radio. So what I'm going to be doing, this box of records I've got here, I'm going to do a Rick Dane tribute where I'm going to play the actual singles that he had when he was here on MAR in 2002. That's the actual vinyl singles, like the one I've just played now. And we're going to follow that up with the next record, which will be by the Easy Beats. Now to the Rick Dane record box when he was on MAR in 2002. The Easy Beats and Hello, How Are You? That's the title of the record. Released in 1968. This is MAR doing a Rick Dane tribute on this festive season, Christmas Eve here on MAR. And I'm playing the box of singles that he left when he was on MAR before he died. I was just thinking maybe if he'd lived, me and him together might have actually brought MAR back. We're having difficulty bringing it back at the moment. That's the reason we're only on at the festive season at the moment, because it's like getting it back regular every weekend. I don't think, well, even John Dwyer doesn't want to get involved too much on that. Yeah, I spoke to him. Yeah, I said, I said, well, I got these places or these tower blocks, like, you know, actually, I shouldn't really say this. Shouldn't really say that, but it is in fact the tower block locations I've been talking about is in fact the same ones where MAR used to be in 1980, and I said to John Dwyer, a bit of a joke, I said, me and Steve West, we're talking about bringing MAR back on from the Morton Tower blocks. So I think he must have been a bit knocked back when he heard that one. But it is true, but not followed up. The phone numbers or anything, just not bothered for the reasons that I explained previously. Anyway, doing a tribute now to Rick Dane, and as I was saying, that was another thing really, he just went wrong at the location, and if he hadn't gone into that downward spiral of the depression, maybe me and him would have continued working together to bring MAR back. But unfortunately that didn't happen, that wasn't to be, and that seems to be often the case with the stations. So, another record now out of Rick Dane's box here, and it's by the Les Reed Orchestra. And it's not Man of Action, because that's been played a lot, I think everybody knows that. So what I'm going to do is play the B-side on this one, which is quite an interesting record by the Les Reed Orchestra. This one's named after a place in Spain. What you're listening to, MAR, Merseyland Alternative Radio, and they're doing a Rick Dane tribute at the moment, and as I said, playing some of the singles here that he left at the station in 2002, just before he died, so that was the last attempt to bring MAR back from the dead, as you might say. MAR died, the original station, in 1981. At the Morton Tower Blocks, that's a bit of Pirates Radio history for those that are interested. As I've had a few requests come through from various people on the net, and Steve West has passed them on to me. So let's continue now with another one of Rick Dane's singles. For Whom the Bell Tolls, Simon Dupree, and The Big Sound. Big Sound of Who the Bell, For Whom the Bell Tolls. Yes, and it's not in stereo, and it's a bit sort of, most of the singles, these being the original vinyl singles from the 60s, then a bit sort of mid-range, as you might say, with the audio frequencies. Next one I'm going to play is another from Rick Dane's small collection that he left here, and it's by Carole King on the original London American Recordings label. Carole King's original version from 1962 of It Might As Well Rain Until September. So here we go. Well, I've miscued it. I'm getting out of out of touch with queuing vinyl singles, so I give it another go here, see if I can get it right. So here we go.
What should I write? What can I say? How can I tell you how much I...
Yes, this is the original vinyl single from 1962.
The weather here has been as nice as it can be, although it doesn't really matter much to me. For all the fun I'll have while you're so far away, it might as well rain until September. I don't need sunny skies for things I have to do.
Mayar doing a Rick Dane tribute here on 105 on the festive season. Yes, Christmas Eve. And I'm playing some of the Rick Dane singles that he had when he was on Mayar in 2002. Next one is by Marmalade on this Rick Dane tribute. Talk about Stephen Bishop now. Yeah, Stephen Bishop, because he was involved with Rick Dane in the, when was it, 1990, something like that. Yeah, it must have been 87 to 1990 when Rick Dane was doing Radio Atlantis with Stephen Bishop. Yeah, Stephen Bishop, saying hello to Stephen Bishop, and he's just, he had some bad habits, Stephen Bishop, I must say. Right. He had a few bad habits, drinking habits, that's Steve Bishop there, and what happened was quite an interesting story, this. This is one of the things I always liked about Steve Bishop, when he had to. He'd have a little bit to drink, he'd have a very loose sort of tongue, and he'd talk about things that happened in the radio to himself and other people and so on. And yes, what he said was rather interesting. He said that Rick Dane used to keep him locked up in a flat. Keep him locked up so that he didn't get hold of too many cans and cider and stuff like that. I'd keep him locked up there, keep the station going. And that's from Stephen Bishop, it's himself. So you can't get the truth any better than that when it comes from the person directly, you know, not from Rick Dane. It wasn't Rick Dane that told me that, it's Steve Bishop. So what happens is, anyway, this must have been after Atlantis finished, because Rick Dane was in a bit of a position like I am now with this, where he was doing Atlantis. It must have been about November 1990, something like that, yeah, doing Atlantis from this tower block, and he's using he's got like an aerial going to an empty flat and transmits his leads going down a shaft to transmit to another flat, and he's got the doors in certain positions so he can tell that they've been moved and all that, and he puts powder down on the ground to see if anybody's been in these empty flats, and sure enough somebody'd been in there. Somebody climbed down the balconies, okay, climbed down the balconies, one of these 22 story blocks in Liverpool, I think it was possibly St. George's Heights, climbed down the balconies, and they'd been in the flats to find out where the aerial's going, where the transmitter is, and all that, and of course Rick knew that, like, although the station was still going, like, somebody climbed down the balconies and knew where everything was, and knew where the transmitter was, where the aerial was, where the studio was. And there's Rick, like, thinking, if he hadn't been as observant as he is, he'd think, oh, yeah, I'm doing great here, this is fine. And, of course, what happened is, anyway, he closed the station down voluntarily, because I think he realised what happened was he was the Broadcasting Act. I think it was called the Broadcasting Act. It was passed in November 1990. And that was really like the end of the road as far as he was concerned, I think. Because I think he could see that the situation was getting a bit too difficult. And that's it. I think he's probably right too. Because look at all the time I wasted in the 90s trying to do various things. But it wasn't so much because of the Act or anything like that. It was just a... seem to lose the momentum really with getting it together and being in the right place at the right time and getting people involved and so on. Anyway, to come back to Steve Bishop, what happened after the folding of Radio Atlantis, me and Bishop, Steve, did a few things together, and this is when I got all the interesting insights where he tells me everybody's life story, including his own. Yes, and he tells me about this thing, what he did one night, and I could quite believe it, because I think it aired some of his. What happens is, of course, he wasn't under Rick Dane's control anymore, and he wasn't really under my control, because I'm just too easy going like that. And what happens anyway is, this is one of the periods where I wasn't really doing anything with him. I was away, but I was still in touch with him, and what he goes and does is he's got this transmitter, and he sets it on the same frequency as the local, well, one of the local commercial stations, commercial station anyway, I won't say exactly which one it is, but it's a commercial station. He sets it on the same frequency, and then he puts it on the same channel, on the same frequency, and then he phones them to let them know that he's on, phones the switchboard at the commercial station to let them know that he's on, and they say, oh great, you know, thanks for letting us know, we're really pleased about that. So I think he continues on the frequency for a while anyway. I think it was one evening he did this, and then he's in his flat. And there's a loud crunching sound. Yes, a loud crunching sound. And something bad happens after that. I won't talk too much about that. Not so good. But that's what happened anyway. When he was free to do what he wanted. So that little insight there. Some pirate radio fun there. In the past, regarding Stephen Bishop. So let's continue now with the Rick Dane tribute that we're doing here. It's almost getting like a tribute to Stephen Bishop, which of course it isn't. So we've got a record now. It's a bit mid-range, this, because it's again original vinyl single from when Rick Dane was on MAR in 2002. So here we go, and it's Betty Everett, a classic from here, I think it's in the early 60s anyway, and the title of this one is It's getting mighty crowded.
I'm packing up my memories and I'm gonna move on out of your heart. Turning in my keys and I'm gonna move on out of your heart. 'Cause there ain't a room enough for two, and sharing your heart with someone new will never do.
It's getting mighty crowded,
I'm telling you.
It's getting mighty crowded.
Gonna take these dreams of mine and I'm gonna move on out of your life. Stop wasting my time. Another heart where I can live all by myself. Gonna find myself a heart I don't have to share with nobody else. 'Cause you did treat me like you should, and sticking around this neighborhood is just no good.
It's getting mighty crowded.
It's too hard for me.
It's getting mighty crowded.
Well, yeah, apologies there. Slight gap. I'm getting out of what you would ever say for handling vinyl singles here, I think. We've got another vinyl single now from Rick Danes' records that he left here when he was on MAR. I'm going to have to be bringing this Rick Danes tribute to a close shortly, otherwise I won't be doing much myself on this festive program that I'm doing at the moment. So I'm going to have this one by the Moody Blues, and that one that I'm going to play. And then after this one, it will be the final record on the Rick Dane tributes. And also saying hello to Steve Bishop, if he's listening. I know I pull him to bits over the air, but he did do quite a bit, quite a little bit in his own way, the Pirate Radio and the time that he was involved. So he's not all bad. A bit like me, really. Not all bad, a little bit of good as well. So let's continue now with Moody Blues on this Rick Dane tribute. Question, that's the title of the record from 1970.
not the way that you say it when you do those things to me. It's more the way that you mean it when you tell me what will be. And when you stop and think about it, you won't believe it's true that all the love you've been giving has all been meant for you. I'm looking for someone to change my life. I'm looking for a miracle in my life. And if you could see what it's done to me, lose the love I knew, save me through. Between the silence of the mountains and the crashing of the sea, there lies a land I once lived in, and she's waiting there for me. But in the gray of the morning, my mind becomes confused between the dead and the sleeping and the road that I must choose.
The Moody Blues, quite a long record actually, from 1970. And I sort of been talking a little bit about Stephen Bishop. Yes, and I was saying he set his transmitter on the same frequency as the commercial station. I think it was back in about 1992, 3 or 4, something like that. I can't remember the exact year. But I think he was trying to follow in my footsteps there. Because what happened in the early 80s, somebody puts a transmitter on the medium wave, it must have been about 1981 or something like that, on the same frequency as the commercial station. But they don't just mess around like Bishop did, where it was like an hour or something like that. It's much worse than that. A lot of trouble going on there with the different pilots, and a lot of people pointed the finger at me, said it was me that done it. I was the villain, the major villain in 1981, and I think Bishop in his own way is trying to follow in my footsteps. Yes, anyway, I can't say whether it was me or not, so I'm going to not confirm or deny that. I think it was pointed there at me by quite a few people. Keep that one quiet, a mystery, a mystery, as you might say, from the years gone by. Yes, but what did happen? There was a station on, I won't say who it was, but what it was, we were right on the next channel to the commercial station, we were using the VFO, and when they turned it on, the thing, when it started off, it'd be on the same frequency as the commercial station, be until it settled down on the next channel. So that wasn't too good. I won't say what station that was. I think Dave Jason or somebody was on it. Can't help but laugh thinking back about all that lot. It's really a bit amusing, really, and quite a few problems going on there. That must have been back in about 1981 or something like that. Yes, not too good there. I'm going to get up, just reach over now. There'll be a slight pause here. Right, okay, I'm back. I'm going to play the final single here from the Rick Dane collection. Now, one of the things I was going to say is these records have been playing on this Rick Dane tribute. He was a heavy rocker, actually. He played a lot of rock music. That was his main music format. So these were like ones that he used on Radio Atlantis and backup kind of thing when he wanted to give the rock music a bit of a break. And that's what these records were. And he brought them up to MAR. And, yes, so it's not quite his normal style of music, but as I said, he did get this one in 1969, and this time I'm not playing the CD version, I'm playing the original single. by the Bee Gees from Rick Danes' original single, 1969. And I'm going to finish this tribute to Rick Dane, who died the 16th of November, 2002. And this is the single that he got in 1969. And the title of this one, to finish the tribute, is Don't Forget to Remember.
Oh, my heart won't believe that you have left me. I keep telling myself that it's true. I can get over anything. You want my love, but I can't get myself over you.
Tribute here on MAR, and as I said, MAR is a very significant name because it's the last station that Rick Dane was ever on before he died in 2002, and me and him had a go at bringing MAR back in 2002. So that's the end of the Rick Dane tribute, and now I'm going to take a flashback now to Radio Caroline, when Radio Caroline was on the air. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to play a recording. What I am going to say is I was listening to them once. I mentioned the word VFO, so don't get it confused with UFO. VFO. I was saying about the station, a station in the early 80s. What happened was the beyond next to the commercial station, but because they were using a VFO, which means variable frequency oscillator, that's what VFO stands for, the thing wouldn't come on the right frequency. It would be on the same one as the commercial station's frequency, And then as it warmed up, it would settle down on the next channel. Second, I'd settle down on the next channel to the commercial station. Okay, I think I'm getting the levels wrong here too. Yeah, it's looking at the indicators here. So I'm in a makeshift studio anyway. I'm not in the main studio, so that's the reason for that. Just not very far from where the transmitter is, and everything's just all banged together here. So anyway, as I was saying, VFO, yes, and variable frequency oscillator, didn't have a crystal. You see the fellow who supplied the transmitter. It wasn't me. I used crystals. And the thing drifts, settles onto the channel next to the commercial station, but as soon as it's switched on, it interferes, unfortunately, with the commercial station. That's going back 1981. Yeah. Bit of a botch up there with that VFO, as you might say. Anyway, I'm going to use the word UFO now, because going back, I was going to say about Radio Catalyne, what they did was they made this announcement on the air one night towards the end of the 60s. This was when Radio Catalyne North was in Ramsey Bay, 3 miles off the coast of the Isle of Man, and they make this announcement one night and they said, oh, a UFO has just landed. It's just landed on the sea, right next to us. So I thought, that sounds interesting. I got a feeling, though, that they were joking. They used to do loads of good jokes on Catalyne, not like the commercial stations, where it's just all adverts all the time. The only time you might hear any sense of humour is on some stupid adverts, and it's usually not very amusing. But on Catalyne, yeah, a lot of good jokes there on Catalyne, loads of really good jokes, and they had a really good sense of humour, they did. And that was one of their jokes where they said a UFO landed. I think it was a joke, and I don't think it was true. UFO landed right next to the pirate radio ship, Radio Catalyne. Rather interesting. Anyway, let's continue now with some more classic hits here on MAR on 105, the continuing sound of free radio here on the festive season. Rita Coolidge now.
All I wanted was a sweet distraction for an hour or two. Had no intention to do the things we've done. Funny how it always goes with love when you don't look refined. But then we're two of a kind.
Peter Coolidge there from a James Bond film. Quite a good record there. Let's have one now from the Beatles.
When I call you up, your line's engaged. I have had enough, so act your age. We have lost the time that was so hard to find, and I will lose my mind if you.
And love is
come true. You only live twice.
Nancy Sinatra. You only live twice. The Bond film. That's Nancy Sinatra, the daughter of old Frank, and I think old Frank's dead now.
Don't think
so. Yes, I'm going to talk about a dad now. That's Nancy Sinatra's dad, Frank Sinatra. I found out something rather interesting recently about him, and that is that old Frank was the mafia's boy. So that's why he was always in with the mafia, because he was the mafia's boy. In other words, the mafia made Frank Sinatra what he was. Yes, he started off in the clubs, I think, in New York. Yeah, started off in the clubs in New York, and the mafia went round to this club. Must have been about 30, something like that. And they said, oh yeah, good singer there, we'll have to try and get him in some of the other clubs as well, get him going, bring him to fame, and that's what we did. That's why old Frank was always loyal to the mafia, because he really belonged. He was like mafia's boy, as you might say. And I think what he tried to do is try to strike the balance between his involvement with the mafia and his career in America, with the American establishment. So he tried to sort of be in the middle, as you might say, between the mob and the American establishment. So he obviously had a rather interesting life, old Frank. And that's his daughter, Nancy, singing at the moment. The James Bond film, You Only Live Twice.
Love is a stranger who'll beckon you on.
So a while ago, on a broadcast, it must have been about, it must have been maybe a year or two ago, I said Frank Sinatra was a bum, or words to that effect, because I've heard like a lot of the people in the music business were not very, was sort of frowning on him a bit when about his involvement with the mafia and about him being friendly with the mafia. But when I said he was a bum, I didn't actually realise that he was the actual mafia's boy, and the actual mafia made him what he was. So that makes it different, really. If the mafia made him what he was, it's a slightly different story. So let's have another one now from the Beatles.
The world is treating me bad, misery. I'm the kind of guy who never used to cry. The world is treating me bad.
From their album Please Please Me, the first album that they ever released in 1963. here on MAR, Maryland Alternative Radio, 105 FM, the continuing sound of free radio. Well, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play a record of being a bit, what's the word I was going to use for a certain word I was going to use? Yeah, being a bit taken back by this record by Peter and Gordon recently, in recent months, or because it's one of those ones from the 60s that's, I didn't realise how good it was until I'd played it once or twice on some broadcasts I was making a while ago. So I'm going to play it again. Played it a few times, and I certainly think this is a highlight of the career of Peter and Gordon. And quite an outstanding record that he did. They got this huge orchestral backing, an incredibly sentimental record by Peter and Gordon. So here we go. Well, it should be, I think. Yes, I've pressed the wrong switch here, I think. Yes, so I'll try and give it another go.
I bless the day I found you. I want to stay around you, and so I beg you, let it be me. Don't take this heaven from one. To someone now and forever, let it be me. Each time we meet, love, I found complete love. Without your sweet love, what would life be? So never leave me lonely. Tell me you love me only. Sweet love, what would life be?
Peter and Gordon, Let It Be Me, that's the title of that one. Peter and Gordon, a great legendary classic from them. I used that term some years ago. Must have been around the time I was involved with Steve Bishop, so I'm going to say hello to Steve Bishop again. I don't think he'd be listening, but he might be hiding somewhere in Liverpool. I'm not too sure on that. And what I was going to say is I played that one, and he commented on that when I'd said used the word legendary classic or something like that. And he says, there's nothing legendary about Peter and Gordon, they're just a couple of college students. So I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. But I have to say that there's more to it than that, really, than just being a couple of college students. You don't do become famous in the 60s with records like that if you know more than a couple of college students. There's much more to it than being in the right place at the right time, having the right producers, all the other things, rather like the Beatles had. Right compositions in the right place at the right time, and so on, as you might say. I said, one of the things I'm going to say is, Steve, he used to mention this thing when I had these conversations with him, which is rather interesting, really. A term he used to use quite a bit, which I think is rather interesting, really, because not many people speak on the radio, frankly, like I do. He used this term, dark side to the personality. And he said, certain people in pirate radio, he seemed to think, certain people in pirate radio had a dark side to their personality. Yes, it's a very interesting term, that. It's like as though you've got a wicked side to your personality, a hidden side. Now, what I was going to say about that is it depends, in my opinion, it depends how dark the dark side is. You just got a little bit of a dark side, isn't that so bad? Maybe like me doing this, a little bit wicked. But if you've got a really bad dark side, or a side that's so dark that there's no light, then I think you're a really, obviously, really bad person then. And I think that could be the case with these serial killers. They've got a dark side to the personality that's so dark, there's virtually no light there at all. There isn't, and that's why they're so wicked and they do these, the things that they do, like these murders that the serial killers do. They've obviously got this dark side to the personality. They've always had it, like. They've had this predisposition, as you might say, in their personality and the things they like to do. And that's what they do. It's a very complicated subject, actually. It is, and it relates to personalities and different types of individuals. And he touched upon quite an interesting term there, dark side to the personality. Yes, and some people have got just a little bit, some people are like as though maybe straight from heaven, others like they got this little dark side and then it gets really dark, and you've got all different kinds. You've got a lot of diversity in the population where you've got so many different types of personalities. No two people are the same. They may look the same on the outside, but you'll find that they're very much different. Anyway, let's continue now with another one from the Beatles.
I love you, cause you tell me things I want to know. And it's true that it really only goes to show.
Yeah, so I was just going to say about Stephen Bishop, he's starting to follow in my footsteps nearly, where he's, somebody's talking about him, like he's on the air when he isn't on the air, somebody's doing an impersonation or talking about him, even when he's not on.
It's happened to me, I can't conceive.
love anymore. Misery has me wide.
I'll say I love you, and I'm always thinking of you.
I love you, 'cause you tell me things I want to know, and it's can conceive of any more misery. Ask me why.
I'll say I love you, and I'm always thinking of you.
There and another classic track from that album, Please Please Me, the album that they released, their first ever album in 1963. Yeah, coming back to Stephen Bishop again. Yeah, so I was going to make another comment now when I'm speaking to Steve West, who's on the station, been doing quite a few programs and doing a great deal for the station. Yes, Steve West, and he's saying, what are you talking about Stephen Bishop all the time, too much for, like, or keep on talking about him, nobody knows who he is, people have forgotten, and he's saying, what do you want to mention him for? Yeah, so he's saying, oh, you're making him more popular by talking about him all the time. Yes, I'm getting the levels going over on the levels here, because what it is, the studio's all just banged together here, and I'm holding the mic in my hand. I haven't even got a mic stand here. I'm in the studio, not far from the transmitter, not the main studio, holding the mic in my hand while I'm talking, so if I move it too close, it bangs on the levels. You can see it's doing that now on one of the indicators on the monitor while I'm talking. And as I was saying, people are forgetting, people seem to have forgotten about him, because he's like a... Well, it's going back into the past now. He hasn't been on. Last time he was on, it was with me. Yeah, I think it was, when was it now? It must have been about Christmas, 1998. Yeah, station was doing then. My final attempt to do a station when he was involved with me was October 1999. And what happened then was, we were going to have, what's his name now, Jim Brown from Central, he was going to go on the station. Phil Davis from LPR was going to go on the station. And we're all going to get together. That's Jim Brown, Phil Davis, myself, Stephen Bishop, all going to get together and do this station. And that sets up all the equipment. And what happens? About a day or so later, I go over there and there's no answer where he is, because he was in the flat where he was, you see, the equipment. So, well, I thought this isn't looking very good. I go over there with Phil Davis. I think it's Phil who's with me. That's Phil from LPR. Hello to Phil if he's listening there. Yeah, so he was with me and there's no answer. That's not looking very good. So I go over there, I thought, well, maybe he's hiding in the flat there, so what I'll do is, I thought, I'll go over about 4 o'clock in the morning, see if I can catch him unawares. So what I do is, I go over there, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I thought, that's strange, the door looks as though it's the wrong way round. So I give it a push and it falls flat on the ground, and I just walk straight into the flat, and the whole place has been wrecked, completely ransacked. All the panels have been ripped off the wall, and the equipment's gone. And that was the last I saw of Bishop. Must have been a few nights before. So he disappeared with the station's equipment. and turned his back, as you might say. I think that may be where I've been pulling him to bits a lot, really. But I don't think it was entirely his own fault. He was involved with some people doing a few dodgy things, and I think he fell out with them. So I think they took revenge, as you might say, and the station was caught up in the middle of it all. One of his relatives, you see, doing some dodgy dealings with one of them, and he fell out, his relative is, and that was it. So that was the last time Stephen Bishop was ever on the air. Now, you think he was on the air, it must have been about maybe a year or two ago, messing about. But he wasn't on himself, he was playing these tapes, and I could tell it was him. Because I know how his brain works. I got him like psychoanalyzed, as you might say. I understand exactly how his brain works, and I could tell it was him by these tapes he was playing, because it was this joke that was on it. It was like Laurel and Hardy, it was somebody like them saying, and they were saying, "Oh, life is a piece of shit," something like that. And I thought, oh yes, definitely Stephen Bishop's you sense of humour. That is, life is a piece of crap. Yes. Yeah, so anyway, let's try and continue now with some more music. Yeah, I don't want that one. Yes, so, as I was saying, I've got another... another 40 minutes to go, and I'm going to have to take my leave of you, and I'll tell you who's coming shortly. Well, this track that we got at the moment is on a vinyl. It's on a vinyl thing, and the gaps in between the tracks here, we haven't got a good light here in this banged together studio I'm in at the moment. And the gaps are so narrow, you can't see, like, you can obviously see the gap to cue the record in, but here we go. A rather interesting record now from the 80s here on MAR. Well, it should be.
To be human after all.
that's level 42, something about. You're going to conclude that little story I was telling, which is true actually, about Stephen Bishop and the station equipment that went missing when me and Jim Brown, it was me, Jim Brown, Phil Davis and Stephen Bishop, we're all going to get together in October 1999 and get a station going. It could have been MAR, I can't remember the name of the station we were going to try and start, because as I said, it all went wrong, like it so often seems to do. And I'm going to conclude the story now by saying that we were given the address of the relative that Stephen Bishop had fallen out with. In other words, the fellow he'd fallen out with, who'd smashed up all the flat and with his pals and took all the gear. And I spoke to one of my pals and somebody from Radio Merseywaves as well. And the two people I spoke to wanted to go over there and sort out this relative of Stephen Bishop's. There were going to be a number of us going to go over there, but I said no. I said best leave it, because I didn't think it was worth the consequences, what would have happened. Because the problem would have been if the fellow had said, well, he's not going to hand it over, or he wants money for it, then I think the situation would have probably turned quite nasty, extremely nasty. So I thought it was best just to leave it and not have anything really bad happen, because it probably would have if we'd have gone there to sort it out. And the Bishop himself had turned his back, well, he's turned his back on the situation pretty well, and disappeared somewhere. So that's what happened. So we certainly didn't want to go and sort it out, as I said, for the reasons I just explained. I didn't think it was worth for a bit of pirate radio equipment all the trouble that there would have been, because I've said it could have turned quite bad. So anyway, let's continue now with the Beatles.
As I write this letter, send my love to you. Remember that I'll always be in love with you. Treasure these few words till we're together. Keep all my love forever. P.S. I love you.
So just finishing off what I was saying about the little bit of trouble that we had, and that all those years ago, 1999. Steve Bishop disappeared and station equipment disappeared. And remember one of the fellas saying when we were talking about going over to see this relative of his where things could have turned really bad. And he was saying, oh, there always seems to be trouble. Always seems to be trouble in the radio when Steve Bishop's around. The main thing about him was this fellow who said this. He's prepared to go there and sort it all out, whatever it takes. And not just, like, as you would say, cause trouble, but settle it, as you might say, once and for all. But I said, I just didn't think it. I thought it was best to leave it and let things be, as you would say.
Waited so long for the girl of my dreams to appear, and now I can hardly believe.
Yes, it's a bit of a sort of a parallel situation that I'm talking about here to what happened in the early 80s, must have been about 1981, when I was involved with Pino Kenny. And we're doing an LBC, I think it was, something like that. And we had this discussion about all the trouble that was going on. And Pino Kenny said, well, you know, if these fellas go round to sort out the trouble, he didn't want it on his conscience what would happen after he'd been round to the place to sort out the trouble. So it's a bit of a sort of a parallel situation, as you might say, where there's been some trouble. Yes, there was a similar thing again happened in the pirate radio days, which was connected with Radio Caroline. But the trouble really did get out of hand on this occasion. And what it was this fella bringing a station from a radio force in the Thames estuary. And the transmitter that they were using had been loaned to them from the Radio Caroline organisation. And the name of the fellow, I think, was Reg Calvert. That was his name. And there'd been a dispute, a disagreement, and some threats had been made about this dispute over the transmitter, because he was owing the Caroline organisation money for the transmitter that they lent him or hired to him, and he hadn't paid the bill. And they were talking about going there and taking the station off the air and taking the transmitter back. And Reg Calvert made these threats to the people at Radio Caroline. So what happens next is the dispute escalates and gets really out of hand. Reg Calvert goes around to this fella connected with the Radio Caroline organisation, barges his way in through the front door, and the fella from the Caroline organisation was... appears with a gun, and Reg Calvert is shot, and he died there on the spot. That was in 1966, and what happened then it wasn't very long after that that the government that was in power at the time, when they gave them the ideal excuse that they were looking for to pass a law to ban the pirate radio ships. And of course that's exactly what they did. They were just looking for an excuse, because the government that was in power in 66, not like the one that's in power now, they were very sort of anti-commercial, as you might say, and they were saying things like, oh, we don't want all these big American business people making money off our coast with these pirate radio ships. We want them off the air. That's basically what they were saying. Another thing I was going to say, I can see why somebody's been on the roof of the buildings here about a good possibility why somebody may have been on the roofs here, the buildings, at the end of October, because some of the things I'm saying over the air are a little bit over the air, I should say, are a little bit outrageous. They're not the sort of thing you'd say on a commercial or normal kind of station, like either a community or a commercial station. So this is the thing, I'm getting a bit controversial, as you might say. So yeah, And that could be the reason, possibly. But I'm only guessing on that. I don't know. It could be several reasons for it. So I'm just guessing on that. But certainly not a plus. Because I suppose you call it free speech, as you might say. But free speech can have a downside to it as well. Like, I think what it is if you say something that offends somebody, that's the downside, because you're going to get a reaction back from whoever you offend. That seems to be the problem with it. So let's continue now with another Tom Jones one.
Love is like candy on a shelf. You want to taste and help yourself. The sweetest things are there for you. Help yourself, take a few. That's what I want you to do. We're always told repeatedly, the very best in life is free. And if you want to prove it's true, baby, I'm telling you, this is what you should do. Just help yourself to my lips, to my arms. Just say the word and they are yours. Just help yourself to the love in my heart. Your smile has opened up the door. The greatest wealth that exists in the world could never buy what I can give. Just help yourself to my lips, to my arms, and then let's really start to live. All right. Yeah. My heart has love enough for two, more than enough for me and you. I'm rich with love, a millionaire. I've so much, it's unfair. Why don't you take a share? Just help yourself to my lips, to my arms. Just say the word and they're yours. Just help yourself to the love in my heart. Your smile has opened up the door. The greatest wealth that exists in the world could never buy what I can give. So help yourself to my lips, to my arms, and then let's really start to live. Just help yourself to my lips, to my arms. Just say the word.
Tom Jones there, help yourself. And as I was saying, I've been talking about some controversial things, and some of the things I've been saying are a bit outrageous and so on. The only thing I was going to add to all this now is when I've been speaking to my current girlfriend about all this, she said I shouldn't be doing the radio at all because I've hardly got any listeners anyway, and that I should have a soapbox. A bit of a joke this is. A bit of a soapbox down in London somewhere to make all these speeches and talk about all these controversial things. In other words, I should try to become a political figure where I think the unthinkable and I say the unsayable, as you might say. Yeah, I certainly seem to be getting in that direction with some of the things I've been saying on the station. Yes. Say some rather controversial things. Yes, and getting the levels wrong here again. It just sort of flashed there on the indicator. As I said, the studio here, it's not the main studio I'm in at the moment, and I've got about another 20 minutes to go here on MAR before we got another DJ coming here on the festive season programs here on MAR. Let's have another track now, final track from the Beatles. There's a place. Yes, and to finish the story on what I was talking about, where I was saying my girlfriend was suggesting or saying I should be a political figure and be doing speeches and not bothering about the radio at all because I've got many listeners anyway, which is the joke. Well, what I'm going to say is I won't be doing that because it does not, the other aspects of things I'm doing do not, are not favourable for me doing that, certainly not at the present time, maybe another 5 or 10 years, if I'm still around then, might consider it, but certainly my present lifestyle would not be favourable to me trying to become anything like that, where I'm a political figure making speeches and saying things like I'm saying on the air. I mean, the thing is, I'm on the air anyway, I'm here anyway, I'm just talking about things of interest, as you might say, with the radio, particularly the radio and some of the people that have been involved with it. So what have we got lined up next? Yes, Tony Christie.
Sunrise, this is the last day that I'll ever see. Out in the courtyard, they're ready for me. But I go to my Lord with no fear, 'cause I did what I did for Maria. Town, with the sun going down, all the windows were barred, there was no one around, for they knew that I'd come with my hand on my gun and revenge in my heart for Maria, my dearest departed Maria. Take an eye for an eye and a life for a life, and somebody must die for the death of my wife. Yes, I did what I did for Maria. I did what I did for Maria. Laughter echoed across from the end of the street. There was a man I was burning to meet, and my mind was so calm and so clear as I took my revenge for Maria. Fell to the ground, raising dust all around. But I knew he was dead long before he went down. It was quick, it was clean, made it easy on him, which is more than he did for Maria when he did what he did.
Santa Maria. Take an eye for an eye, and a life for a life, and somebody must die for the death of my wife. Yes, I did what I did for Maria. I did what I did for Maria. Sunrise, this is the last day that I'll ever see. Out in the courtyard, they're ready for me. But I go to my Lord with no fear, 'cause I did what I did for Maria. Take an eye for an eye, and a life for a life, and somebody must die for the death of my wife. Yes, I did what I did for Maria. I did what I did for Maria. Take an eye for an eye, and a life for a life, and somebody must die for the death of my wife. Yes, I did what I did for Maria. I did what I did for Maria.
Glory and suicide mystery.
Springsteen there from the early 70s there. Born to Run. Yes, Born to Run Through the Woods After a Transmitter. Yes, that was one of the jokes there on the station Radio Free Liverpool that Rick Dane used to do. When people had to run through the woods after a transmitter there. Just outside Liverpool many years ago, Pirate Radio Memories there. That's the people that wanted to get the station off the air. The joke was they were born to run through the woods after a transmitter. Of course, I think Rick Dane had to do run as well, like, with the transmitter. Very sort of early days there of Pirate Radio. Yes, in the early 70s. A long, long time ago. We've got, we're going to have an internet link up at 10 o'clock. And we've got DJ Cali Blue all the way from America. That's following me at 10 o'clock here on MAR, Maryland Alternative Radio, here on 105. It's 1969 now with Cilla Black.
The water falling down. Falling down outside your head. You do your best to turn the tide, but can't forget everything he said. The pressure's getting far too great. Watch the water falling down like a neon in your head. The neon's flashing up and on, recalling everything he said. You've lost the fight for love today.
There, Cilla Black. Surround yourself with sorrow. Yeah, surround yourself with sorrow. Sounds like modern day life. Yes, I was going to say about modern day life. I'm going to play another record now, which could be appropriate for modern day life. And it's by the Amen Corner. And a rather appropriate record. The World of Broken Hearts. Yeah, it seems as though we might be going in that direction at the present time. World of Broken Hearts. So I'm going to have to take my leave of you shortly. And I'll be handing you over to DJ Cali Blue. All the way from America, via the internet, coming up shortly. So until the next time, maybe tomorrow or Boxing Day, I'll take my leave. I'd like to thank everybody for listening to me, particularly if you've managed to stick by with all the talking I've been doing. So I'll say cheerio for now.
In your heart, and in your heart, I see the love.